We begin the current daf from Sechs Pesachim Daf Tzadi. We begin on the bottom of the Pei Testament base, three lines up from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is the Gemara had quoted a brisa which was related to the discussion of our Mishnah, which is when someone has a Karban Pesach and he wants to include other people on this Karban Pesach. Now our Mishnah on the previous daf spoke about a specific case when there was a group and a person invited someone else. Then the brisa spoke in general. If someone has a Karban Pesach and then he wants to count more people in that Karban Pesach, on that the brisa said that he could do that, and the money that he gets, because he already bought a Karban Pesach, but there's still a lot more to go around. So he says, you want to join, you know, pay in. And that money that he gets, that the brisa says that the mo'isha b'yodoy achulin, the money that he gets, they're chulin money, they're unconsecrated. He can use it for whatever he wants because it was already purchased, the Karban Pesach. And the money that they're paying him to join, he can use for chulin purposes. On that, the Gemara continues, Amar Ula. Ula said, V'itayma Reboishin, some say it was Reb Oishya, Asher the Yadin Chavrin Bavloi, maybe our friends the Babylonians, a reference to the Talmid Chacham that lived in Babel, time of the High Milson, maybe they understand the understanding of this Bryce, and that is, they were basically saying, Halavai, hopefully that they do know, that they could tell us how to understand this Bryce. And that is as follows. The question is, Zehifrish Talal Lepeschei, this person already designated, he separated this lamb for his Karban Pesach. Now, this other person, he already designated this monies to be for the Karban Pesach. Now, the problem is, how do you have something that's already hekdesh, which are these monies? They were already designated for hekdesh and chalal hekdesh. How could they now be, they could be chal, that they could acquire the purchase of the lamb, which is a different sanctity of hekdesh already, to then say that the monies that are given for that hekdesh goes out and becomes chulin. As the Gemara explains, the ketani moish abiyadil chulin, because we said in the Raisa that you have this Karban Pesach, who we already designated as Karban Pesach. You have people that are chipping in. They have money that's designated for Karban Pesach. And that we said, the money that they're paying him to join, he can use it for chulin purposes. But the question is, how does that happen? In other words, who went and made this money that was already hekdesh into chulin money? And that is because generally what happens is, if let's say you have money that was kaddish, or if you have an animal that was kaddish, and then you go ahead and you switch it with something that's chulin. So if let's say you had an animal that was chulin, and you take money that was holy and you're giving it in, so what happens is that the animal then gets the sanctity of the hekdesh money that you're purchasing it with. And then let's say the one who's selling an animal. He's selling an animal, someone wants to come buy an animal for kachim. So he has his kachim money that he designated for it. He gives it to the one who's selling the animals. Now that animal is chulin. So now suddenly the animal becomes kaddish, and the money that he paid the seller, he can use it for whatever he wants. That gets deconsecrated onto the animal, and now the monies are chulin. But here the Gemara is asking, what we're swapping with what, that the money should go out and become chulin? You can't say that this money should become chulin because it was kaddish and now it's switching with what? The animal was already kaddish too. So how does this money that was already hekdesh get deconsecrated onto what? It can't be deconsecrated on the animal that's hekdesh. And Rashi says, you can't say that we're talking about that these people are chipping in, that they never consecrated any money for a Karban Pesach, because then what would be the chiddush in that statement to say that the mo'id shabbi yodah are chulin? Of course. What would be the chiddush in that? You have an animal that's Karban Pesach and they're giving chulin money. So why would I think that there it would have that we're telling you a chiddush that it would be chulin? Of course, it's chulin money. There is nothing that's becoming hektish with this money in the first place. So this was what they wanted to know. Would the Babylonian Talmid Chacham know the answer to this? How can something, when both of these things are hektish, become that the money should become chulin if it's not being deconsecrated on a chulin item to switch the sanctity with something else? Now we continue at the top of Tzadi Manal. So Amar Abaya. Abaya says, so first he says that what he would have said, but then he says ultimately what he has to say because of what someone else had said. So Abaya says, Ilav du ukmi Reb Oishya lahi, if not for what Reb Oishya had translated, a Mishnah that the Gemara later on is going to quote from that was a Mishnah Masechtas Temura, regarding a case of an esnan. Now an esnan is when a man has an illicit relationship with a harlot, so he wants to pay the zayna. He pays her with something. That item is what's called an esnan. It's the exchange for this immoral act. Now, the Mishnah over there says that this esnan, this halacha of esnan that disallows this to become used in the Beis HaMikdash, which is a pasuk that we're going to quote in Devarim, Perek Chav Gimel, that actually acquires that status on something that's already hekdesh. That's what the Mishnah there says in Masechtas Temura. So if, let's say, you have an animal that's already a carbon, and then you give it to the zayin, to the harlot, to say, here, I'm paying you for your services, that status of esnan, which disallows it to be brought into the base of Mikdash, is chal, it acquires it on that carbon that's already was designated as a carbon. So now, if not, that Reb Oishia would have translated that Mishnah that says the halacha we just said, that esnan could be chal amukdashin. B'mamna zayna al pischay, when we're including, that's Lashon HaMinoy, we're concluding in the list of people that are going to have a part in the Korban Pesach. And he's saying that now you, the harlot, you can be part of this group. You, the Zayna, will be part of it. Hence, this Korban Pesach now is also a status of an Esnan because the Zayna is getting part of it. Now, the question then becomes, if that is what we're talking about in the Mishnah Masechtas Temura, that we're talking about a Korban Pesach, that the Zayna is joining the group by virtue of payment for her for this immoral relationship that becomes an Esnan. Now, the problem is, there's a halacha that ain adam oisid dabe she'ain shaloi. A person cannot make forbidden something that's not his. I can't make someone else's thing forbidden. Now, the question is, this is kachim already. It's a Korban Pesach that's not his. It's kachim. Kachim is, so to speak, like on b'Hashem. So how can he go ahead and create this isra on it of esnan, which disallows it for the base of Mikdash, if it's already a Korban, it's already Korban Pesach? That Rabbi Shi said, because of a Rebbe. The Tana of that Mishnah Masechtas Temura is Rebbe, that he holds Korban Pesach is mamon bailim. It's owned by the owner, which the Gemara later on will quote, that he holds even what's called mechtei mekach. That is, if let's say the owner of this Korban Pesach doesn't have enough money for other mundane things, he doesn't have money to buy a shirt, to buy a cloak, he could then have people join his Korban Pesach. He takes money from them because they want to join, and they could use it for whatever he wants to use it for. So obviously we see that it's his in that he owns it, and therefore he could make it forbidden, because if he didn't own it, then it would be Hashem, so to speak, and he wouldn't be able to make it usher by having the Zayna have a part in it by making an Esnan Zayna. Now, on that, Abaye says, if not, the Reb Yishu would have said in Masechtas Temura the explanation of that this is Rebbe, that he holds that a Korban Pesach is the own person's, and therefore he can go ahead and make it usher by giving the Zayna a part in it, thereby making it an Esnan, and now it cannot be brought as a Korban. Have a Makminan Lalahi, he says, if you asked me, I would have said that that case of the Esnan, that it's making something that's already Kachim usher, again, how could that be? Not because like it's Rebbe and the Korban Pesach, but rather I would say somehow b'kachim kalam, by this lower sanctity karbanis, for example, of let's say he gave her a Korban Shlamim. He already had, it was designated as a Korban Shlamim. He gave it to her as an Esnan, to say, okay, here's my Korban, here's your payment. He has the ability to make that Aser. How so? I would have said it's not Rebbe and Korban Pesach. I would have said it's Rebbe Saglili and in regular kachim kalam. Because the Amar basically says in the first parak of Masechtas Baba Kama on the Yud Beis Amud Beis, he says Kachim Kalim Mamon Bailam Hu, that is owned by the individual, although it's Kachim, but still it's owned by the individual, and therefore he can go ahead and make it usher by having the status of Esnan Bichalnet Avol BePesach. But I would have told you, however, regarding a Korban Pesach, that Loy Mishayir Inish, that a person does not leave over in the sanctity of the actual animal itself. That there's no more part of the owner's rights in there to say that it's not totally hektish yet. I would have said it's not like that. Not like the way he wants to say that it's the Rebbe Shi says that it's Rebbe that holds that there's some sanctity left over that you could go ahead and make it usher. And rather the reason of Rebbe that he says later on that was we're going to quote, that you could go ahead and purchase your own needs from the value of the Korban Pesach that you're selling to other people that want to buy in. Now that would definitely sound like that you are leaving over some of the sanctity in the animal, which sounds like Reb Oishia, that Korban Pesach is Mamon Bailam. He says, no, I wouldn't have said that. I would have said rather it's the other point, because B'mois Vada Meshayir Inish, it's the monies that are being used to purchase that they are not totally sanctified yet. And that is, a person reserves his right to say that although, yes, I designated this money that I want to purchase from this guy who already has his animal as a Korban Pesach, and therefore there's no way for it to be deconsecrated, says the money is still on some level like chulin that I can give it as a gift. So therefore, although the actual Korban Pesach itself, definitely you cannot make it an Esnan. That's what he's saying. I would not agree to Reb Oishia. because the actual Korban Pesach, you don't leave over any that's not sanctified. It's all sanctified. But it's the money itself that's not totally sanctified. And the reason is, because originally when the person separates monies to use to buy a Korban Pesach, it's with that intention that he separates and designates the money. And that's why when we said that case in the previous daf, what happens is that the Moishe b'yodo yechulin, and we asked, how is that possible? Maybe our Babylonian Talmid Chacham could explain to us this. The carbon is already Kaddish as a Korban Pesach, and the money was already designated as a Korban Pesach, so they're both Kaddish. Where is it being deconsecrated? That the explanation is because this one that's separated for his Korban Pesach, and then he allows other people to join him on the Korban Pesach, that is just a gift that he's allowing them to join. Now, what these people are giving to him, they're actually on some level like a mois of chulin, as we just explained, because they leave over some of that in the money to be considered chulin. So it's really, there's a reservation over here, not in the kedusha of the Korban Pesach, but he reserves the right to give over a gift of his Korban Pesach to others, and they have, on some level, the sanctity of their money still has a status of chulin. Now, regarding the case of, however, what would Rebbe hold regarding this halacha in the Mishneh Temurah that Rebbe Yoshi wanted to say it's Rebbe? And that Abaye says, I would not agree to that. I would say that if someone, according to Rebbe, he puts the Zayin on the list of those who want to join this Korban Pesach, that would be, he would be gifting it to her. That, we said, he could do. However, it's not in his ability to sell anything in it. That's totally Kaddish according to Rabbi. And therefore, the status of Esnan would not be Chal on that. And therefore, that's why I would say that the Mishneh Temurah is not like the way Rabbi Yeshia says. It's not true. It cannot be like Rabbi because Rabbi holds that it's not the Korban Pesach itself, the way Rabbi Yeshia wants to learn up, that it itself. And that's why he said that Rebbe says you can use the money that comes in to purchase whatever mundane things you are because you reserve some rights of your own ownership in the Korban Pesach. And that's why he wants to say, oh, that's the time of the Mishnah Masechtas Temurah. Like Rebbe, who he has some ownership in this animal, and hence it could still become Esnan because it's not Oysed Dovish Einish Shaloi. It is his on some level. And that Rebbe says, no. It's not his. It's totally Kaddish. You cannot Aser Dovish Einish Shaloi. It's not yours. It's Kaddishim. And therefore it does not become Esnan. So then how do we say the halacha that we're going to quote later? The Rebbe says you can take the money that's coming in and purchase your mundane things with it. That's because of the monies that are coming in. There the reservation is, not in the animal. It's in the money that comes in that they reserve the right to give it in the status of chulin to the owner that they're chipping in with, and that's why he can use it for mundane things. Now, and Baye continues to explain. He says, Vaha, and that brice that we quoted before that said that the ma'is that's biyadoi are chulin, that is Rebbe. I would say that is like Rebbe. Umishum hachi, and because of that, ma'isha b'yadah chulin. That's why the money that's in his hands are chulin. And that is, I would have thought to say, if not for Rebbe Yishai, Abaye says, that this that Rebbe says is permitted to use the money is d'bepesach loy mishayir inishi. It's because truthfully, in the Korban Pesach itself, there is nothing left over. And that is, in the Pesach itself, there's no kedusha that's left over that's not totally sanctified. To say that some of the sanctity of the money could be deconsecrated on that part of the chulin. That's not the case. Rather, it's in the monies that the person leaves over. In the money, he leaves over some of the kedusha that to say that there's still going to be a gift of chulin that you could give to the owner of the Korban Pesach. And vahi, and that Mishnah Masech, this Temura, the Kamuki la Rebbe Oisha, Rebbe, that Rebbe Oisha, he wanted to say, it's like Rebbe, loy mukmin le'anok Rebbe. I would not say that's like Rebbe, because as he just said before, the Pesach loy mishayir inish, in the Korban Pesach itself, there is no leftover Kedusha. There's no way you can make it into Esnan, even if you give it to the Zayin as payment, because it's not yours. You can't aser it, she'inish aloy. It's in money that a person leaves over. As we said before, because originally when that monies are separated, it's with that intention that it's separated to be able to give it to as a chulin level monies to the owner that you want to chip in with. Now, and you cannot say that Bryson that I want to say is like Rebbe, and that's the way of the, how he's resolving the question of the Babylonians, had not Rebbe Yishai said what he said. You can't say that's Kiribyesi, the Hataniba, because we said in that Braisa that we quoted on the previous daf, which we were discussing one half of it, the other half of it says, V'hameicher elosei v'shlamav, however, if someone sells his oil and shlamim to have the other person have the portion in that kaparo, then lo yosef aleikum, he has not done anything. Now, that's obviously not like Rabbi Yisi, because Rabbi Yisi holds that it's kachim kalim our mum and bailam, and he would hold for sure that you could sell it. So it can't be like Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, Abaye says that this case of Esnan, of the Mishnah Masechtas Tmura, to say that it's like Rebbe and it's a reference to the Karban Pesach, he says, I would not have said that. Because I would have thought to say that this that Rebbe holds by the Karban Pesach, that it's Mum and Bailam, as we're later going to see, he clearly says that it's that you can go ahead and buy your own things. That is not the case that it's actually Mum and Bailam who, that he has the ability to say that now it's going to be Usr because of Esnat. That's just because of the monies that come in, as Abaye had said. And therefore, again, essentially, Abaye was saying that we could have resolved that brisa by saying that, yes, the question was, you have a carbon Pesach that's already Kaddish, and you have money that's already Kaddish. So how can you say Moshe Shabiyad Echulin? Says, if not for Rebbe Oishia, I would have said, very simply, it's Rebbe, who Rebbe holds that the money is still somewhat Chulin, and that's why that money is Moshe Shabiyad Echulin, because it's not becoming Kaddish. They reserve that right, even though they set that money aside to be used as a carbon Pesach, it's still going to retain some of its Chulin non-Kaddish, non-sanctified status, and that's why it's going to be Chulin. However, but now Abaye says, "V'hashda de'ukmi Reb Oishia lahi." But now that I can't say that, because Reb Oishia already said that an explanation of that Mishnah Masechtas Tmura, that this that you could take something that's already a carbon and yet have the isra of esnan chal on it. He says it's b'mamne zayna pisra. It's by including the zayna in the group of those included on the carbon Pesach. And v'rebihi, and that's like Rebbe, that he holds mum and bailam, so shmami na. From there you could infer, disvirile, that obviously the way Rabbi Yishai is explaining that Rebbe holds, afila bepischei mishar inish, that even on the Karban Pesach itself, a person leaves over some of the sanctity. And as Rashi explains, obviously Rabbi Yishai holds that according to Rebbe, even in the Karban Pesach itself is mum and bailam. And what you hear from there is that even in the Karban Pesach, there is a reservation that it's not totally sanctified. It's not totally not yours. And most definitely, the monies, you're going to leave over some reservation. And therefore, most definitely, it's not a contradiction what Abaye wanted to answer. He just wanted to say a lesser of an answer on some level, that not to take such a leap of a chiddush, like Rabbi Yishai says, that not only is the money that Abaye would have said, you could say like Rabbi, but Rabbi Yishai says even more. Most definitely, you could say that now that brisa that says the money is like Rebbe, because he wants to say that even the Karban Pesach itself, there's some level of chulin in it, and that you could even sell parts of that. And that's why the other people's monies become chulin. And for sure, it's not a question that how can you say that something that's hektish is getting deconsecrated on hektish. Bigger chiddush than what Abaye would have said. Abaye would have said because he doesn't hold up the way Rabbi Yishai interprets Rebbe's opinion. But nonetheless, Abaye would have said that only the money stays a little chulin, and that's why it's going to be chulin biyadi of the meicha. That's what they initially separated with that intention. Rabbi Yishai says, no, you could say it's Rebbe because even in the carbon itself, you retain some ownership. And that's how he says the Mishnah Temur is like Rebbe. And therefore, of course, Moshe Biyadei Chulin, because it's being deconsecrated. Their money that may be totally Kaddish is being deconsecrated on that part of the animal that he still retains the right of Chulin on it. So that was the conclusion of this discussion to explain that Braisa, how do we have that it gets deconsecrated, again, according to Abaye, because the money is Chulin, according to Rabbi Yishai, because even the carbon Pesach itself is Chulin. Now the Gemara asks, so we quoted this, now Mahid Rabbi Yishai, Abaye was saying, if not for Rabbi Yishai, what is the statement of Rabbi Yishai that he was discussing? So the Gemara says, it's not like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Tmura. It says over there, Nosan la Mukdashin Besnana. If somebody gives his carbon that's already Kaddish to a Zayna as an Esnan, as we said, an Esnan is an exchange for the services that were rendered by the Zayna, by the harlot, and he's paying her with this carbon. So Hare Elu Mutarin. So the halacha is that carbon is still mutter. And however, eifes techulin, however, birds that were chulin, hare elu asurin, they actually become asur. Now, it explained as follows. Shahayi bidin, that the truth is, I would have said a kal v'chaymer that those chulin birds should be mutter, and they should not become an esnan, because umau in mukdashin, if we find by something that's hektish, shahamun paisel behen, where a blemish already makes that carbon invalid. Now, it's still ein esnan u'mechir chalein, and yet still we say that since it's kadosh, it's already a carbon, that we say that now the status of esnan and mechir, which is an exchange of a dog, cannot be chal on that. So therefore, regarding birds of chulin, She'ein hamun paisel b'hem, where there's no invalidation of something that's not a carbon, that's not kaddish, that a blemish that's not invalidated. Ein adin she'ein esnan nemechir chalen. Isn't it most definitely that by being exchanged for the services of a harlot, it's for sure not going to have this invalidation of an esnan if something as kaddish as a carbon doesn't, for sure something of chulin. Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk in the Devarim teaches when it says in the pasuk l'chol neder. And that is, this is a pasuk in Devarim Perek Chav Gimel pasuk etes that speaks about this parasha of a esnan zayin. It says leisavi esnan zayin, you should not bring this exchange that was given to the zayin u'mechir kalev, an exchange of a dog, beis Hashem lekecha, to the house of Hashem your God, and in other words to the beis Hamikdash, l'chol neder, for anything that's being used as a neder. Because this is an abomination by Hashem your God, Gamish name, both the Esnan Zayna and the Mechir Kelev. So therefore it says, for anything that will be given to the Beis Hamikdash as an oath, L'rabbis is a'ovis, that comes to include birds, which can be brought in the status of a neder. L'chol is coming to include that it is going to be Asra as an Esnan Zayna. But if that's the case, the Gemara says, then kavochaimra lemukdashin miat. And now you should say a kavochaimra then in the reverse, regarding things that are already karbanis, that most definitely they should be usr, and that the status of esnan should be chal in the carbon. Because ma oifis, if we find by birds, she'en hamum paisel behem, where there's no mum, there's no problem about something that's a chulin thing, that it'll be invalid, you can't eat it if it has a blemish. Yet still esnan and mechir chalin, and still the status of esnan and mechir, that psul, is chal on those which are chulin. If so, mukdashin, something that's more sanctified, that's holy, that's already carbon, shamum poisel b'hem, which already can easily get invalidated by a blemish, ein adin she'esnan mechir chalin, isn't a kavochem that there it should be puzzel by having the status of esnan chal on it? Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk teaches, l'chol neder, again, that same word, that for anything that will be brought as a neder, now prat l'nader, that excludes something that was already designated as an oath. In other words, something that's already a carbon, it cannot be chal. It's only for something that could be brought as a neder, that you were going to bring, that as the oifus of chulin, there it has the psul of an esnan. But something that is already a carbon, that's already mukdashin, that is already excluded from the chol neder, only if it's going to be a neder, not nadu, that is already designated as a carbon, there the psul of esnan is not chal. Now the question is, at the time of the kasa rachmon and neder, now it sounds like from this that it's only because the Torah wrote neder, which that excludes, but not something that was nader. Halhavach, if not for that drasha, havamina, I would have thought to say, mukdashim chal iser esnan alein, that something that's already a carbon, doesn't make a difference, the iser of esnan would be chal on it. It's only because it's being excluded from the drasha of l'chol neder, and not nader, that it was already a carbon already before. But the question is, for an ein adam oisidav eshein eshaloi, a person cannot make forbidden something that's not his. And a carbon you don't own anymore. It's already hektish, quote Hashem's, quote Beis HaMikdash, it's not yours. And therefore, well, how would we say that it would become usher? By having the status of esnan chal on it, you have no right to do that. You don't own it. On that, that was the Rabbi Isha that we were discussing till now, that he says, there is a way for you to make a carbon usher. How so? When you include a zayna on your carbon pesach, the Rebbe, and it's going like Rebbe, who he holds that the mammon of a carbon pesach is his, and therefore, according to him, you do have some rights in it, and hence you could have a zayna become part in it, and you can make it usher with esnan zayna, because it's not only she'ein eshaloi, it's yours also. So that's the halacha of Rebbe Yishya, again, that Abaye debates Rebbe Yishya on that in regards to the interpretation of Rebbe. So then the Gemara goes the next step. My Rebbe. What is this halacha of Rebbe that was hotly debated between Abaye and Reb Isha regarding, we definitely know on some level, as we're going to quote, that Rebbe holds that you could use the monies that are brought in and shipping into your Karban Pesach, and you can use it for things that are not necessarily for kachim purposes. However, the question is that how far is it? And in other words, what is the understanding of that? Rebbe Yishya clearly holds, and that's why he says that that's the time in the Mishnah Masechta Torah, that you leave something in the Karban Pesach itself. However, Abaye argues in that. So what is this Rebbe, this halacha that they argue in? The time, like we learned the Braisa, there's a pasuk in Shemais that says, "Yimet habayis meyos misa." Now, the literal translation of this is a pasuk in Perikud based pasuk Dal that says, "Vim yimet habayis meyos misa," that if there won't be enough in the household to consume their entire lamb, so you don't want any of it to become nicer, and you can't eat all of it. V'lokachu u'shchenes, so he takes him and his neighbor, Hakar v'albeisa, that's close to his house. B'michsas nefash is according to the amount of people that they have. Ish lefi achli, even according to how much you could eat. T'chaisu ala se, that they'll count them on the lamb, and then you're going to go ahead and have enough people that they're going to go ahead and eat it, and there won't be any leftovers. Now, however, as Rashi explains, there's a drusha way of interpreting this pasuk, and that is the way it's interpreted im yimid habayis. It means to say that if the bal habayis, the owner of this carbon pesach yimat, he doesn't have enough money miyais miseh from being able to go ahead and purchase his needs that he needs for the yomtiv of pesach. So, and that is what it means when it says miyais miseh hechiyehu miseh, that you could provide his livelihood from the lamb itself. And that's what the pasuk continues when it says that the lokach hu ishchenu, that takes him and his neighbor hakarv al beisai. What that means is that he takes money from his neighbor, and he counts him on his carbon pesach that he already had designated, and then from that money he could go ahead and take what he needs for the carbon pesach. That's the drasha. However, the first opinion here mentions that it's only michde achila. It's only for things of eating purposes. That is, if he doesn't have enough money with which to purchase what he needs to be able to consume for the eating of the Karban Pesach. For example, he doesn't have firewood to roast his Karban Pesach. For that, he's allowed to sell rights in the Karban Pesach. That's what it means when it says, Hechiyehu Miseh. However, V'loy Mechdei Mekach. However, not for business dealing types of monies. And that is, if he doesn't have money for business, then he's not allowed to sell his rights in the Karban Pesach. And that we didn't say Hechiyehu Miseh. Hechiyehu Miseh was only for the purposes of consumption of the Karban Pesach. He doesn't have money to buy wood to then roast his Karban Pesach. And that is what the Pasuk is saying. Then get your neighbor to get money so that Hechiyehu Miseh, they could use it for the Karban Pesach itself. On that Rebbe, I mean, this is the Rebbe that we were discussing, he argues on the Tanna Kamma and says, Af mechdei mekach, no, even for purposes of business dealings. And that is, Shem ein lo, if he doesn't have enough money for business, mamna achar imay al pischai v'al chagigasi, he could go ahead and include another person on his Karban Pesach and the Karban Chagiga on Yudal that comes together with the Karban Pesach. And then, umay shebiyad chulin, the money that he went and he got from his neighbor, that's now chulin money. And therefore, he can go ahead and use it for his business dealings. And the reason is, Shamanas Kain Hikdish Yisrael as Peschein, because with that intention, the Jewish people designate their Karban Pesachs with the intention that they, if need to, they're leaving over, they're reserving the rights to use it for chulin purposes. And therefore, this is the source of the Rebbe, that he says clearly that they reserve the rights for the Karban Pesach, although it's Kaddish, to be on some level chulin. And that's where Rabbi Yishai said that the Mishnah Masechta Tumah was like Rebbe, and that he reserves some rights, and that it is on some level his. And that's why, first of all, you can go ahead and sell it and use it for your own purposes, even for business dealings. And that's why also that the status of Esnan could be chal on it. It's not a problem of Ein Adam Oysi Davashay Nishalei, because it is on some level. Now, relating to this machlekes of Rebbe in the Tanna Kamma, that if you can go ahead and use this hechiyehu miseh, can you purchase only things necessary for the Karban Pesach, or even for your own business dealings like Rebbe, we have a machlekes. Rab of Reb Zera, there's a machlekes amiram in interpreting this machlekes. Chadam, one of the amiram say, be'etzim litzliyasa, regarding firewood to roast the Karban Pesach, kuli amalei pligi, nobody argues that you could definitely count others to go ahead and purchase with those monies firewood to roast the Karban Pesach itself. And the reason is, the kibbutz that the count of the Pesach, since this is helping and refining the Karban Pesach itself, so kagufa the Pesach, it is actually like the Karban Pesach itself, and therefore even the Tanakam would agree that that's hechiyehu miseh. Ki pligi, their machlikis was regarding b'matzah mar, which to go ahead and purchase matzah and mar with those monies that you're letting him buy into your Karban Pesach. And that is Rabban and Sabri, and that Rabban hold no. Ha'achilachriti, that's a different consumption. Yes, it's a mitzvah, and it's something you do on the Seder night, but it's not actually the physical body of the Karban Pesach. Whereas the little firewood we're considering is part of that, because it's part of that process, but matzah and mar is something else, and that wouldn't be included in chiyehu miseh. Rabbi Sava, however he holds, no. Even the Hsher de Pesach, since it is a preparation of the Karban Pesach, which is eaten al matzah samaraimim, so then kagufa de Pesach, we consider it valid as the Karban Pesach itself, and that would be included in the Chiyehu mi Pesach. V'chad Amr, and however another Amr says, he says even more. He says, b'matzah mar nami kul amalei pligi. No, Tanakama did not even argue on regarding using those monies to buy matzah mar. The Chsiv, as the Pasuk in Bamidbar says, that even the Tanna Kamma would agree that that's included in the Karban Pesach, because the Pasuk says, Al matzah samaraim yochluhu, the Karban Pesach should be eaten with matzah and mar. And the kivan, the machshir, and the Pesach, and in the sense it is a preparatory act for the Karban Pesach, so Kepesach Adami, even Tanna Kamma would agree that that's included in Hechiyehu Miseh, that's the achila of the Karban Pesach, because it's eaten with those other things like matzah and mar. Ki pligi, when was their machlekes? Likach bei cholik, to buy a shirt with it. Likach bei talis, to buy a cloak with it. On that, Rabban the Savri, miyes misel rachmana. No, the Torah tells you that you can use it for the purposes of the lamb. Hechyeyu leseh, that you can use your livelihood for the lamb itself, and that is, you can use those monies for the purposes of the Korban Pesach. However, not to go ahead and buy yourself a shirt. For Rabbi Sava, however, Rabbi holds that this exemption of hechyeyu miseh that is allowed, that on some level it's not totally sanctified of the Korban Pesach, is hechye atzmucha miseh, that no, you could continue your livelihood, not the livelihood of the Korban, in other words, the purposes of the Korban Pesach, but your own purposes of your own life, that you can use from the lamb, and therefore you can go ahead and use it for whatever you want, even to buy a shirt or a cloak. Now, and therefore, this was a machlekes between, and again, in this machlekes about how far was that Rebbe said this, that you have the hechyeyu miseh, that you could use it michtei mekach. Now the Gemara says, Ula Abaye da Amar. Now the Gemara goes back all the way to the beginning. Now according to Abaye that he said, Ilav du ukm Reb Yishai lahi, if not for the fact Reb Yishai had interpreted that Mishnah Masechtas Temura regarding the Esnan Zayin Amukdashin, Bimam Zayin Al Pischai, that it's, if not for the fact of L'chol Neder, that's excluding Nadr, I would have thought to say that then this carbon could become Usr by giving it to Zayna, and now it becomes Esnan Zayna, which the problem was, how so? It's already carbon, it's Eino Adam Eisa Dabesh Eino Shaloi. And that, Rabbi Yishai said, because it's talking about including the Zayna on your list of the carbon Pesach, V'Rebbe, he and it's Rebbe, who he holds, at least according to Rabbi Yishai, that it's Mamun Bailim, and therefore it is yours to Aser. On that, Rabbi Yishai said, no. Have a Mekmin Lab a Kachim Kalam. I would have said that it's talking about a Kachim Kalam, like a carbon Shalom. V'Alibad Rabbi Yishai Glili, and it's like Rabbi Yishai Glili, Dama, that he says, Kachim Kalam, Mamun Bailim, that those Kachim Kalam is like a Shalom, and that's owned by the owner. Avul b'Pesach, but he says regarding the Korban Pesach itself that even Rebbe would agree loy mishayir inish, a person does not leave over in the Korban itself, and hence even Rebbe would agree that you cannot make it into Esnan Zayna. On that, the Gemara asks hakatani behedya, but we explicitly just learned in the Brisa when we said where is this Rebbe? We quoted this Brisa. Rebbe says shamanas kein hikdish yisrael es peschein. Now, why can you go ahead and buy a shirt or a cloak? Or at least according to that one of those Amiram that say that's what Mechdei Mekach is, because what do you mean? This money that's Kaddish, that's buying into your Korban Pesach, with that purpose you leave over that it could be deconsecrated on those monies, that there is still some type of chulin level with it. And therefore, you see that the Korban Pesach itself is Mamun Bailim Hu. And therefore, why would Abaye say that he disagrees with Rebbe Yishai? It seems clearly from Rebbe's own statement that the Korban Pesach is some, there is some reservation of Chulin in there. And that's why he can go ahead and purchase things that it becomes Mois Chulin when people's money for Korban Pesach is bought to chip in with his Korban Pesach. That the Gemara answers, Ema, let's say, as we had already alluded to this, that this is Abaye's interpretation, Shamanas Kein Hikdish Yisrael Mois Peschein. Not the way Rabbi Yishai interpreted, but rather that because with that intention do the Jewish people set aside their monies that are being used to buy the Korban Pesach, although they already were makdish it, but on some level they were leaving, they're reserving some chulin status inside of it, that is, if they want to buy into a Korban Pesach, that it should retain its chulin sanctity, that then the person will want to take their monies and join in so that it doesn't become Kaddish, and he could use it now that he's selling them rights in this Korban Pesach for his own purposes of Mechdei Mekach. And therefore, this person that's including these people in his Korban Pesach, and they're giving him money, that those monies are chulin, and he's giving them, they're not buying in, those monies still remain chulin because he's giving them his part as a Korban Pesach as a gift. It's not a purchase to say that now that those monies would become Kaddish. They retain their chulin sanctity that they always had because that was their intention originally. And that's why he could buy a talis with it. And that is, as we said, that's Abaye's interpretation that he says he would have said to say that this Brisa, again, we explained it either way, Rabbi Yishai or Abaye, but he would have said it that the retaining of the chulin status is only in the monies but not in the Korban Pesach itself. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on this theme about those that are not fit or those that are fit for the Korban Pesach. So the Mishnah says, Zav shero'a shtei ri'is. Now Zav is someone that has some type of emission from his body, that is, has a status of tumah. So if he sees it two times, and that is the halacha of a Zav that sees it two times, he becomes tummy for 7 days. However, he does not require a Korban after those 7 days. So regarding such a person, the halacha is, Sheikh Nulav Bishvi, they could slaughter for him the Karban Pesach on his seventh day of his Tumah. And that is, although he didn't have what's called Harav Shemesh yet, the sundown didn't come yet, which is only then that he becomes totally Tahar. But since he would be fit for the evening, as we had said in the previous Mishnah, that all we need is that you're going to be fit for the evening, as even if someone's in jail or he's ill, whichever one it is, but you're going to be fit in the evening. So that, and that was the case that we said regarding the Einan. So the same thing would apply over here, since by the evening time already, he will be tar, because sundown itself makes him tar. That's enough. And therefore, even though he's still in the status of Tumah on the seventh day, you could still slaughter the Karban Pesach of him. He's considered Ro. However, Ro Shalish, if let's say this Zav saw three Re'is, he had three emissions from his body, where then he's not fit for the evening until he brings a Kapara, until he brings a Karban on the eighth day, then the halacha is, not that you could slaughter him on the seventh day, but rather, Sheikh Nalav Bishmini Shalei. Then you could slaughter the Karban Pesach for him on the eighth day. And that is, if let's say his eighth day falls on an Erev Pesach, so although he didn't, and this is the Chiddush, although he didn't bring his Karban yet, which is his Kapara on the eighth day, and he's going to bring it later, and that's, as Rashi explains, as we had learned in the previous daf in the Testament Aleph, that Mechusi Kippurim, although generally you're not allowed to bring any karbanis after the karban tamid, which is a mitzvah saseh of hashlama, aleha hashlem kol karbanis kulam, the last thing has to be a karban tamid. However, on Pesach, we bring the karban Pesach later, and therefore we allow so too mechusi kippurim, which are necessary for him to be able to eat his karban Pesach in the night. So although he didn't bring it yet, but since he could still bring it today, he's considered fit, and therefore on this eighth day, he will ultimately end up bringing his karban, and he'll be fit to eat it at night. Therefore, you could even slaughter it for him right now, even though he didn't bring his karban yet. Next case in the Mishnah talks about is Shemeris Yom Keneged Yom. Now the Mishnah is talking about all these different types of Tumah, both male and female. So here we're talking about a woman that saw Tumah one day in the 11 days that's between the states of Nida. And that is, there's Nida for 7 days, 11 days of the days of Zava, then 7 days of the days of Nida. That's the cycle, 7, 11, 7, 11. So regarding this woman that saw one day in those 11 days between the Nida days, where then what the halacha is, if she sees one Re'iyah, she's not like a Nida that's then tummy for 7 days. Rather, she has to count one day clean without seeing Dam. So that's what's called Shemeris Yom. She watches one day, Keneged Yom, in regards to the day that she had seen before. So that's the second day. Sheikh Nalao B'Sheni Shalah, so we could slaughter the Karban Pesach for her on her second day, which means the day that she's counting as the clean one. And the reason is because once she already counted part of the day as clean, she's already permitted to do her tefillah. Now, although even if she does a tefillah, she could immerse in the mikvah already, because we say miktsas ayem kukulei, she already, some of the second day already, the first day she saw the dam. Now, that's not a fully clean day, she has to have a fully clean day. So the second day, what's called the second day, she's already a few hours into the day, she could already immerse, because miktsas ayem kukulei, but she's still lacking what's called harav shemesh, sundown, to be totally tar. However, as we said before, you could still slaughter for her, because since by evening time already she'll be able to eat it, so now already she's considered ru'uya, and we could slaughter the Karban Pesach for her. Rasa Shnei Yomim, a similar halacha, let's say she saw 2 days dam, then still Sheikh Nalei B'Shlishi, then we could slaughter for her on the third day again, because 1 day and then 2 days she saw dam. Now she has to still wait Shemeris Yom, 1 day clean, so then on the, which is now the third day. So that is the same halacha that we could slaughter for her on the third day, because Mikzim Kukulai, she could be table in the mikveh, and she'll have Harav Shemesh by the time the Seder night starts. However, the Hazava, regarding a woman that sees 3 times, which then makes her in the status of Zava, she sees 3 times in a row within the 11 days that's between the states of Nida, now she has to count what's called Shiv Nikiyim. That is, in the times of the Gemara, it wasn't like today where we machmer and we consider every woman that sees Dam that she has to have Shiv Nikiyim. The 7 days of Nida, she didn't have to see Nikiyim. It could be blood the whole entire 7 days. As long as at the end she stops, she's going to be Tahar. However, regarding the 11 days between those days of Nida, if she sees 3 days in a row, that's when she has to count 7 clean days and then afterwards bring a carbon. There the halacha is, Sheikh Nalei Bishmini. Then we can slaughter a carbon Pesach for her on the eighth day, and as long as she brings her carbon, it's similar to the halacha that we said before of the Zav that sees 3 times in a row. Here by the Zava, as long as she brings her carbon Mechusi Kippurim, that she's lacking that kapar before it gets nighttime, and then she'll be able to eat by evening. So again, we can slaughter carbon Pesach for her on her eighth day. And that's what our Mishnah was talking about, these different types of Tumah. But as long as by evening time you're going to be fit, so therefore now you could still do the Shechita of the carbon Pesach, again, similar to the previous Mishnah, that if you're going to be fit in the evening, you could shecht it for you even now, even though you didn't finish your Tahara process yet. So the Gemara brings a machlekes. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Sheichten vezerken al tful yoim u'mechusi kippurim. So Rav says that we could slaughter and we could throw the blood of a carbon Pesach on someone that's what's called a tful yoim, that they already did their immersion in the mikvah. However, they're not totally tahar yet until evening time when they have Her Shemesh by sundown. However, you could still do the Karban Pesach for them. And you could also do the Shechita and the Zrika for someone that's Mechusi Kippurim, that is on their eighth day, which they already did their Tevila and they had that Her of Shemesh, but they're waiting on the eighth day now to bring their Karban. Now, that the halacha is that since by the evening time, this person has to wait till the Her of Shemesh, but since they could go ahead and bring their Karban Pesach, because they're going to be fit in the evening, so on that he says you could go ahead and do the Karban Pesach. We tend to Amud Beis. However, the Ein Shechtem Mezerken Al Tumei Sheretz. However, you cannot do the slaughtering and the throwing of the blood for someone that has a Tumas Sheretz that he became Tumei from touching one of the eight Shrotzim in the Torah. Now, as Rashi says, that's in spite of the fact that someone that became Tumei from a Sheretz is only Tumei for that day. He could be Tovel in the Mikveh and be Tahar in the evening. And that the Gemara will explain the reason for that. It seems like it's just like the case of Tful Yem Mechusi Kippurim, that you'll be fit in the evening. So why over there did he say that you cannot do the Shechit and Zrika for Tumei Sheretz? So that's Rav's opinion. V'ula Amar, however, Ula says he argues. He says, no, Af Sheikh Nebezerken, not Tamei Sheretz, which is logical, as we just said, that it's the same as Tvul Yem Mechusi Kippurim. You could also do the Shechid and Zrika for someone that's Tumei Sheretz, who will be tar and fit for the Karban Pesach in the evening. So now the Gemara asked the question that we said. L'Rav, according to Rav, Maishna Tvul Yoim. Now, what's the difference why Tvul Yoim is that you could do the Shechid and Zrika for them? Because the Chazi L'Urta. Because as the other cases we had mentioned in the Mishnah, that they'll be fit in the evening. However, Tmei Sheretz Nami Chaz L'Urta, someone that's coming from a Sheretz will also be fit in the evening. So why there did he say that you cannot do the Shechita and Zrika for such a person? On that, the Gemara answers, because Mechusa Tevila. Because the Tmei Sheretz is lacking Tevila, he didn't immerse in the Mikveh yet, and therefore, that will still say he's not Ro at this state like he is right now, because he still needs immersion in the Mikveh. On that, the Gemara asks, well, Tvul Yoim Nami Mechusa Herav Shemesh, someone that immersed in the mikveh is also missing something. Also not totally tahar, although that person already immersed in the mikveh, but they're missing sundown, so there also should be not ro. On that, the Gemara answers, no. Shim shim emela arva. The sun sets by itself. We know sun rises, sun sets. Therefore, this person is already fit. We just have to wait for the inevitable of the sun setting. But someone that didn't immerse yet, that's not the inevitable, and that person's not fit yet. On that, the Gemara asks, wait a second, Mechusi Kippurim Nami, someone that didn't bring their carbon yet on their eighth day. Ha Mechusi Kippurah, Kapara, but they're lacking their atonement. That should be just like what he's calling the Tmei Sheretz that didn't immerse in the mikveh yet, and therefore that's not the inevitable, you're not Ro. Here you're also not inevitable. They didn't bring their carbon yet. Also should not be able to do the Shechita and the Zrika and the carbon Pesach on them. And yet he said that you could do it for a Tvul Yom Mechusi Kippurim. So that the Gemara answers, no, Shekinah B'yadeh. We're talking about that the birds that he has to bring for his kapar are already in his hands. So that's not lacking anything. On that the Gemara has. Then you could say the same thing by Tmei Sheretz Nami. By someone that's Tamei from a Sheretz, Hari Mikveh Lefanov, the Mikveh is right here. There's nothing that they're missing. So why is Mikveh any different than holding the birds ready to bring? On that the Gemara says, no, Dilma Pasha, that maybe the Tmei Sheretz, the one that became Tamei from a Sheretz, will be negligent and will not immerse in the mikveh. And therefore, you can't say that that's ready to do. But then the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, I can tell you the same logic, Mechusi Kippurim Nami, someone that's lacking their kapar, I understand he's holding the birds, but Dilma Pasha, he might be negligent and not bring it. Why is it any different than the mikveh? On that the Gemara answers, no, it's not a difficulty. We're talking about that he's not actually holding the birds. He already gave it over to Bezdin. That he said the following halacha. There's a chazaka, there's an established fact that ain Bezdin shall kahanim oim de misham. The Bezdin that oversees what the kahanim do in the base of Migdash, they do not get up from the azar from the courtyard until all the money in these containers that were these types of shefaris in the base of Migdash, that there were these boxes, these containers that were called shefaris, that had written on them kinin. These were the birds that a woman would bring when she would have a birth, and she had to bring a certain carbon, which the same thing would apply to all mechusi kippar that we're talking about, that they're lacking atonement. They would bring monies and put it into this shefar, into this box. Now, the monies of these birds were designated for this purpose, and they were allowed to automatically eat kachem in the evening. And they could rely on the chazakah of Bezdin, of the Kahanim, that they wouldn't get up until all the monies were used up in the Shefer, and that it was that for sure the karbanos were brought. And the reason was because they didn't want these Mechusi Kippurah to eat kachim that when they weren't allowed to in the evening, so they automatically made sure that all of them were brought. And therefore, there is no element And this is what the answer for Rav is of Dilma Pasha. You can't be, because there's a chazaka on Bezin that they make sure these karbonis of these kinu were going to be brought. And therefore he says, it's not a question on me. By the Tumei Sheretz, I say you cannot do the Shechita and Zvikinim, because maybe he's not going to go into the mikvah, Dilma Pasha. But regarding the Tvul Yoim, that's inevitable. All he has to do is wait for sundown. And regarding Mechusi Kiparim, there's also inevitable, because we know for a fact that Bezin will make sure that the Kohanim go ahead and bring it. But then the Gemara asks, Ula Rav, according to Rav, that he says, okay, fine, but by Tmei Sheretz, the reason is that maybe the person is going to be negligent. However, what that sounds like is that Midereisa Mirzi Chazi, however, Min HaTorah, the Tmei Sheretz is fit, Min HaTorah, biblically, to go ahead and do the Shechita and Zrika for him on the Karban Pesach, and it's only Rabbanan who the Garzibay, as the Gemara had just explained, it's Rabbanan that make a Gzeira that we don't allow it, because maybe the person will be negligent and not immersed in the mikvah, and hence it was done for someone that wasn't fit. If that's the case, then Alama of Rav, why does Rav himself say, in Perikates at Tzoylin, regarding a certain case that the Gemara that discussed, if the half of the Jewish people were Tahar and half were Tamei, where what's the halacha, you know, because we go after the Raiv, do we make the Karban Pesach Bituma when the Tzibur is Tamei, but it's not Raiv, it's half and half. And that Rav said, to be able to figure out what to do, Mitamin Echad Mehem Sheretz. What we do is we make one of them tamei by having him touch a sheretz. So then he weighs over that the majority now we have. It's not 50-50 anymore. The majority are tamei. And therefore we're going to bring the Karban Pesach, even Pesach Rishon, in the status of tamei. Now the question becomes, if, as we just explained, that a tamei sheretz is fit min ha-Torah to have the Karban Pesach brought on him, so how does he weigh over the tzibur to the status of tamei? If Tamei Sheretz is fit to bring the Karban Pesach, as we said, because he could immerse in the mikvah, it's only a rabbinic takana that we don't allow it. But biblically, that means to say that we do not have a majority of the Jewish people that are Tamei. So how is that machria, as Rav himself said over there? So the Gemara falls off what they said before, that it was only a takana drabana not to allow Tamei Sheretz. Ella rather, l'rav midari raisinam leichazi. The truth is, Rav holds that even min ha-Torah, it's not fit to bring a Karban Pesach for a Tmei Sheretz, and not as the Gemara said before, that maybe he's going to be negligent. The Chassid says a Pasuk in Bamidbar, that from that Pasuk he could prove to you, and that's why he says that a Tmei Sheretz is different than the cases of Tvul Yoyim and Mechosi Kippurim. Because the Pasuk says, Ish Ish Kiyah Tomei Lenefesh. Any man that will be Tomei in his soul, that is, he touched something that's Tomei, and that we said that he can't do the Pesach Rishon, he gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Now the Gemara explains, isn't it talking about that it could also be that it's talking about on his seventh day that he was tummy from touching a mess, which is tummy for 7 days, that liyis be'erev Pesach, that fell out to be on Erev Pesach, so therefore he's still a tummy lenefesh, and still the Pasuk is telling you he cannot bring it on Pesach Rishon. The Hainu, which that's exactly like the case of Tumas Sheretz. Someone that touched a mess, a corpse, that's tummy for 7 days, on his seventh day, essentially is the same as a Tumas Sheretz, who's also tummy for 1 day, that both of them will be tar in the evening. And yet still, Vam Rachman and Nitzchi, still the Torah says that it gets pushed up to Pesach Sheni. So therefore you have a source in the Pasuk that tells you, Tumas Sheretz, again, which is the same as a tummy mess on the seventh day, which the Pasuk could still be talking about, when that he's tummy lenefesh even the seventh day, although he'll be fit in the evening, he still gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni, and that he's not fit to be Shaykh Mazerkin Lov. Now, v'chitem, and if you're going to say, Mimai Dehachi, how do you know? Maybe, to the contrary, as Rashi explains, the logic would say that it's not on the seventh day. Maybe from the fact that the Pasuk used as explaining who we're talking about, that's tummy, it's a tummy lenefesh, and it didn't say Tumas Sheretz, obviously it would sound like that, because we're talking about tummy mace, that's not fit for the evening, because he has to wait for 7 days. So how would you know to say that it's even on the seventh day, and therefore to equate a Tamei Sheretz, who's also going to be fit in the evening, however still ain't Sheikh the Mezergin Love, and he gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni? Who said? The Torah uses the term Tamei Lenefesh and not Tamei Sheretz. It would sound like to tell you that only when he's not fit for the evening. On that, no. The Gemara says, because Savala Krib Yitzchak to Amar, because Rav holds like Krib Yitzchak, that he says in the Sifri, that those people who the Pasuk was talking about over there, in that they were in the time of the Karban Pesach in the Midbar, that they were Tmeim Lenefesh Adam, they were Tmei Mes Mitzvahayu. Why were they Tamei? How did they become Tamei? Because they went and they carried out a body that was a Mes Mitzvah, they had no one to bury it. Shechal Shvi Shalahen Lias Be'erev Pesach, that Rabbi Yitzchak says, you know when that was? That they were still Tamei on Erev Pesach? It was on their seventh day of Tumah. Shenem, like it says the Pasuk in Bamidbar. How do we know it was on their seventh day? Again, which will then tell us that it's the same as like a Tamei Sheretz who would be fit in the evening, and yet still they got pushed up to Pesach Sheni. Because it says in that Pasuk in Bamidbar, V'lo yachlu lasa Pesach b'yim ha-hu, they weren't able to do Pesach on that day. What does it mean that day? But Yemahu de'en yechayin lasas. It was only because on that day they weren't able to. Avol macher, but had it been tomorrow, yechayin lasas, then they would have been able to do it, which means to say they were on the seventh day. And yet still Vam Rachman and Nitru, still the Torah tells us that they get pushed off, and therefore this is the source for Rav to understand his opinion. L'chayir, we wanted to say that Tmei Sheretz is no different than the cases that he said of Tvul Yom Chutz Kippurim that's going to be fit in the evening. And then we wanted to say maybe there's a difference of Dilma Pasha. But then the Gemara said you can't say Pasha because that means Min HaDeraisa would be fit. And hence he himself wouldn't say in Perkei Tzitzilin that that would weigh over those that would be considered that the Tzibur are Tameh. Therefore the Gemara concludes and says that it actually is Midiraisa. The Pasuk tells us that even those that are on the seventh day of Tumas Mass, which is the same as the Tumas Sheretz, that they'll be fit in the evening, still they get pushed off to Pesach Sheni, and therefore Ein Sheikh de Berserkin Aleha. Now, the Gemara asks on Rav's opinion now from our Mishnah. We learned our Mishnah. Zav Shirosh Dei Re'is, regarding a Zav that sees two times. So he said, Sheikh Nalav Beshvi, that you can go ahead and slaughter him on the seventh day, as we said, because he doesn't have to bring a carbon, a Zav that sees two times, he has to wait 7 days, but no carbon. And therefore, on the seventh day, since he's going to be fit in the evening, he's already considered fit on the seventh day. Now, the Gemara asks on Rav, my lav delay tovel. Doesn't it make sense to say that he had not yet immersed in the mikvah, and yet in spite of that, Ushmamina, on that the Bryce is our Mishnah is teaching us, that Sheikh de Mezerkin, not Tamei Sheretz, that you could slaughter and throw the dam of the Korban Pesach for someone that's Tamei Sheretz, because what we're talking about is, any Tumah that's fit to do a Tvila, which is essentially what a Zav is on the seventh day, that he didn't do a Tvila yet, he's the same thing as a Tamei Sheretz, who's also Tamei for that day, and when he does his Tvila, he's going to be fit for the evening. So even if you're telling me that the Tamei Sheretz didn't do a Tvila yet, and it's not just that he's waiting for Harav Shemesh, he still didn't do an action, and on that the Torah is saying that he's not included, as we learn from the Pasuk of Tamei Mes on the seventh day, but our Mishnah seems to contradict that, because our Mishnah says that a Zav on the seventh day that saw two times, that even though it sounds like, because it doesn't say he did a Tvila, even if he didn't do a Tvila, is fit to be Sheikh the Mezerk in the land, which is the same as Tamei Sheretz. And that Rav answers, Lai de Tavol. Now, our Mishnah is talking about that he already immersed. Therefore, all you're waiting for is the inevitable Harav Shemesh. For that, I agree to you that then he's going to be considered fit, and you could do the Shech to Mezerk in the coming Pesach on such a Zav. But that the Gemara asks, E Tavol, my Kamash Malon, if he already did a Tevila, what is the Chiddush? And that the Gemara says, what do you mean? How Kamash Malon? The Chiddush is, the Avagav, the Mechusa, Harav Shemesh, even though the person is still lacking, not totally fit yet, is lacking sundown, but Kamash Malon, the Chiddush is, the Shimshim and Mela Arva, that sundown happens inevitably by itself. Therefore, that's not considered what's called mechusa ma'isa. He's not missing anything actively to do. And therefore, it's as if you considered a tahiri, you considered ro on some level. And therefore, that would be the same as if a person had done a tevila by the sheretz. But what we're talking about is that there was no tevila by the sheretz. And therefore, there is not a question from our Mishnah on Rav's halacha. Because if you didn't do your tevila yet, then yes, you're not going to be ro for the evening, as Rav says regarding a Tmei Sheretz. But our Mishnah is talking about that he already did the Tevila, and the Chiddush is that even though you're missing sundown, but since that happens by itself, it's already considered that he's fit. And that the Gemara says, actually, Hachinam Mistabra. It makes sense to say that our Mishnah is talking about that the Zav on his seventh day, when he saw two times, is talking about that he already had immersed, like we had just answered for Rav. How so? Because Mediktani Sefer. Look at the Sefer of our Mishnah. It says, Ra'osh Shalish Re'is. Let's say it wasn't just that he saw two times, but he saw three times. Now, that type of a Zav doesn't become tar after the seventh day. He actually has to bring a Karban on the eighth day. So now we said, Sheikh Nalav Bishmini. So such a Zav, we could slaughter the Karban Pesach him on his eighth day, because he's going to be fit on the evening after the eighth day. Now, the Gemara concludes why it makes sense to say as the answer that we just said for Rav. Because, Iyam Bishleima, if you say, as we just said, that Zav Shirosh De Re'is, that regarding the prior case of when the Zav sees two times, Sheikh Nalav Bishvi, that you slaughter him on the seventh day, is talking about the Tavel that he already immersed in the Mikvah, again, as we had answered for Rav, not like the question that was posed to him. So Itzrich, so therefore I would understand to need the Sefer of the Mishnah to teach you that you could slaughter for the Mechusi Kippurim on his eighth day. What's the Chiddush? I would have thought to say, if I only had the Reisha case, that when Rosh De Re'is Beshviyuhu, that when the person saw two times and he's on the seventh day, Deloy Mechusar Ma'isa, where he's not missing any action, because all he's waiting for is the inevitable sundown, that is where I say he's considered Ro in spite of that. Of a Rosh Shalish Bishmini, but if he saw three times, and now he's on his eighth day, the Mechusar Ma'isa, where already he's missing an action, because mechusi kapara, he's missing a kapara, he still has to bring a carbon, loi, there I wouldn't say that he's considered ro already. Kamash malan, that's what the Mishnah would be teaching you, that it is mutter even in such a case, that the avagav, the mechusi kapara, that even though he's still lacking an action of an atonement of bringing his carbon, shechten mezurken ilove, still you could slaughter and throw the blood for him, as we had said before, because it's talking about that you gave over it, the rights to the bezna of the kahanim. And therefore, we're not concerned about negligence. It's going to for sure happen. And that's why it's considered ro at this time, even though there's still an action that has to be done. But if you say how you wanted to ask on Rav, that what we're talking about when the person saw two times on the seventh day, that he did not immerse in the mikveh yet, and that's what you wanted to ask on Rav, and still you see that even though he didn't immerse, yet still he's considered ro, not like Rav. And then what you would have to say is, but then, ro shalish b'shmini lamali. But then, if that's the case, that he didn't immerse in the mikveh yet, and the case of the reisha, when he saw two times, so regarding the case of when he saw three times, in Zan's eighth day, what do we need that case for? What more is it teaching? And that is, hashta yeshlem, because if the Mishnah already told me, by rosh de reis b'shvi deloy tavol, as you want to assume that you're asking a Rav, that when he saw two times, in Zan's seventh day, and he didn't even immerse in the mikveh yet, that not only is he missing an action of immersing in the mikveh, but the tummy malyu, he's a full-fledged tummy person. Because until he goes into the mikveh, he could have a million sundowns, he's not going to become tar, and yet still you're telling me, the Mishnah tells us, shechtina b'zarkina lavei, that still we could slaughter and throw the blood on him. Then the question becomes, ra sholish b'shmini, that if he saw three times and he's on his eighth day, did tavale b'shvi, were he already immersed in the mikveh on the seventh day, he's just waiting to bring his carbon on the eighth day, the klisha tumah, which is already a lower level of tumah, because he's considered on some level a tevil yoyim, he already immersed. He's just waiting for the carbon that he bring on the eighth day. Lekoshkin de shachtinan v'zarkina levei, wouldn't it be obvious that you would slaughter and throw the blood on such a person? What would be the chiddush in the way you're trying to understand it? El lash mamina. Rather, obviously, you hear from our Mishnah that, to the contrary, it makes sense the way we answered for Rav. That rush, the reis, b'shvi, the shachtin eloye, that what's the case talking about? That when he saw two times and he's on the seventh day that we could slaughter and bring the carbon pesach for him, the tavel, that he already immersed, and that's exactly how we answered for Rav, that's why it's not difficult on Rav. Yes, if he already immersed, then he's considered ro. But if he didn't, like the case of Tumei Sheretz, then ain't shaykh and mezerkin alav. Nothing more says loy. Although you could answer, it's not a rai to Rav. Because loy l'em l'cha, really I'll tell you that our Mishnah is talking about that on the seventh day, de loy tavol. He did not immerse in the mikveh, and that it would be difficult on Rav. But however, v'itzrich, and yet still you would need the seifa of mechusi kiparim to teach you some of a chiddush that you would not have known. And that's because, solkadei d'chemina, I would have thought to say that b'shvi'i hu d'biyadi l'sakin, on his seventh day, where he's still fit, in his own ability, he has the control to define his destiny of going ahead and fixing himself by immersing in the mikveh. So yes, there I would say that he's considered raw already. Of bishmini, but on the eighth day, the ein b'yad de lahakav carbon, it's not in his own control to be able to bring the carbon. He's not a kohen. He can't. It's out of his total control. Ema pashi b'kahanim. I would think to say that maybe the kahanim would be negligent and not bring his carbon because they're busy and he keeps on saying, please, please bring it. It's not b'yadoy in his own control. It's up to other people. Then I would say that maybe not. He wouldn't be considered ro. On that kamash mon, that's why we needed to say for to tell you, kidrav shemaya, like the chiddush of shemaya, that no, there's no concern for pshia when it comes to the kahanim, because the bezin makes sure that the kahanim bring the karbanas to have to be done for those to be able to eat their karbanas, their kachim in the evening, and therefore again, there's no question on Rav, but it's not going to be a right to Rav either, because I would be able to tell you how there would be a chiddush in the seifa, even though we already said the ratio when he's not even tayvold, and he's mechusar maisa, and he's full-fledged tamei, there still would have been a chiddush in the case of mechusar kiparim, when it's not totally in his control. Now the Gemara continues with the next case of the Mishnah. So in the previous discussion of the Gemara that was on this Amid, we spoke about this machlekes between Rav and Ula, which was a discussion of the first half of a Mishnah regarding a Zav that saw two times, which was this discussion regarding if the Zav is talking about that he did have a tefillah yet or did not have a tefillah, would that be, why are we considering him Rohu? Is it only if he had the tefillah, like Rav wants to learn, or those who would want to argue in Rav, and that is, like Ula says, that even the Tamei Sheretz would be able to go ahead and bring his Karban Pesach because he is considered fit for the evening. Now the Gemara continues with the next part of the Mishnah that talks about Vahazava and the woman. That's her tumah of Ziva, that's from the woman. And that we said, that meaning when she sees three times in a row, so the halacha is sheikh and mechul, that we slaughter for her a Karban Pesach on the eighth day. Now, by way of introduction, Rashi brings the differences in halacha between a zava and a nida. And that is, a zava, she immerses in the mikvah on her seventh day, as the pasuk says in Yikra Perek Tezvav, v'safrala shivas yamim, that she counts 7 days, and then she becomes tar, and that's after the maisa that she does, that she becomes tar, that once she concluded her counting of her 7 days, then she becomes tar. Now, in the beginning of the day, of her seventh day, she already had counted day number 7, and therefore she could already immerse in the mikvah on the seventh day. However, Rashi explains regarding a nida, that min ha-tayra, although today we do count for a nida shiva nikiyim, but a nida min ha-tayra does not count shiva nikiyim. She just counts 7 days, even if she sees dam throughout the 7 days. But however, she cannot tevel in the mikvah until after shkiyas acham, until after sundown, after the seventh day, and therefore she doesn't have the halachic of status of sundown until after the following day, until after the eighth day, because although they're both counting 7 days, but the zava, once she counted day number 7, even already in halfway through the day, she could then immerse in the mikvah, and then she already has sundown after the tefillah. You have to have sundown after the tefillah. Whereas a nida, although she could be seeing blood throughout, however, she has to wait until after the 7th day, and then she could immerse. And therefore, she has to wait the entire 8th day to then have sundown the following day after the day of the 8th day. So with that introduction, the Gemara brings Tani Tani Kamedra of Adbar Hava. There was said this following brisa in front of Adbar Hava. It said as follows, Bahazava, regarding the zava, that you could slaughter for other Karban Pesach on her seventh day. So Amaleis, Rav Adbar Hava said to him, which we see that's not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said on the eighth day. He said, Zava b'shvishala michazya? Is a Zava fit for the Karban Pesach on her seventh day? What do you mean? Afil lamando amar sheikh nemezergen al tamei sheretz. And he's referencing this machlikis that we mentioned between Rav and Ula. That is, even if you hold like Ula, that said you could slaughter and throw the dam of the Karban Pesach for someone that's a tamei sheretz, but hanemili tamei sheretz, that's only tamei sheretz, and those like that, the chazi la'urtib, because they're fit for the evening, so now, even though in the state that they're in, they're not totally tahar, but they would be considered fit because they're going to be tahar in the evening. However, this case of zava, adla macher de masjik kapara, until tomorrow, when she brings her kapara, lo'i chazia, she's not going to be fit. And that is because the zava has to go ahead and bring a carbon on the eighth day. So how could you say on her seventh day you would slaughter the carbon Pesach for her, and therefore after the night of the seventh, when it's the Seder night, she could eat the carbon Pesach, she's not tar until the following day when she brings her carbon. Rather, ema b'shmini, say the Braisa amended and say it's talking about on the eighth day, as our Mishnah says, then you could slaughter the carbon Pesach for her on the eighth day. And that the Gemara asked Peshitta, well, that's pretty obvious. Why not? Why is it any difference in all those other cases? They already mentioned that you're going to be fit in the evening, and therefore you can go ahead and consume the Karban Pesach. Now, the Gemara says no, because I would have thought to say that since you're lacking atonement, then you cannot. And that is, as we said, because maybe what's going to happen is maybe the Kahanim are going to be negligent, and therefore, since you're lacking atonement, you're not considered totally fit for the evening. That's the Chiddush, like Rav Shemaya said, that we're not concerned about that negligence. Hence, you are already considered fit for the evening, because we know inevitably your carbon is going to be brought, and that's what the Chiddush of the Braisa was telling, which is what our Mishnah says too, that the Zav on their eighth day, you could slaughter and throw the blood of the Karban Pesach for her. A different version of this Braisa that was said in front of him, Ravina Amar, says, Nida Tanikame, that not the case of Zava, rather, as we said, there's a difference between Nida and Zava. Again, Nida is the 7 days, then there's 11 days of Yimei Ziva, which is then if you say you see 3 days in a row, then Min HaTorah, the Shiv Nikiyim. Nida, you don't have to have Shiv Nikiyim, but we said Nida has to wait until after the 7 days, and only then could she tevel, and then she has to wait after the day of the eighth day. However, regarding Zava, we said she could tevel on the seventh day, but she has to bring her carbon on the eighth day. So Ravina says that he didn't say Zava, but he said Nida. He said as follows, V'hanida, and the Nida, Sheikh Nala B'Shvi, that we could slaughter for her the Karban Pesach when it's on her seventh day of Nida. So Rav Adbar Hava responded to him, Nida B'Shvi Michazya? Is a Nida fit on her seventh day to be able to eat the Karban Pesach in the evening? That you could slaughter it and throw the blood for her on the seventh day? Afil amanda amas sheikh namazergan al tamei sheretz. He said, even according to Ula, it says you could slaughter and throw the blood for someone that's a tamei sheretz, that's because the chazi lo urta, you're going to be fit in the evening. Nida lo urta de shvi hu de tavla. However, in Nida, she only gets to tavla in the mikvah on the evening of the seventh one, and therefore ad shmini de of the hair of Shemesh lechazer, until after the following day, after the eighth day, when only then she has sundown, she's not going to be fit until after the eighth day. So you can't say on their seventh day. Ela'eima b'shmini, rather say that on their eighth day of the Nida, then you could go ahead. And she had already immersed in the mikvah the night before. She's just waiting for sundown of the eighth day. So on the eighth day, she's inevitably going to be available. She's going to be mutter. She's going to be tahar. So then you could slaughter and throw the blood for her. Not the Gemara's pshita. What do you mean? Hashto ma'zavah d'mechaster kipar. If we already know the case of Zava, who's even missing some type of a ma'isa, she's lacking atonement. Her korban was not brought yet on her eighth day. And yet still we said, Sheikh Nebuzerk and Lebishmini, still our Mishnah says clearly, you could slaughter and throw the blood for on her eighth day. So then what's the b'risa teaching us? Nida d'loi mechaster kapara, if a nida that's not lacking in any atonement, all she has to wait for is Harav Shemesh's sundown. Do we have to tell you that we could slaughter and throw the blood for her on the eighth day? What's the chiddush of the b'risa? And that the Gemara says, no. Ida itzukhalei, we had to tell you the case of Nida. Because Hakamash 1, this is exactly what we're teaching you. And that is Bishmini in. What we're teaching you is that only on the eighth day can you slaughter and throw the blood for the Nida. The Chiddush is that Bishviloi, like the mistaken version of that he was told over originally in the Nida on their seventh day, the Chiddush is saying that no, it's only on the eighth day but not the seventh day, because she's not going to be fit on the evening of the seventh day because of that there's going to be sundown. Because sundown doesn't work for her on the evening of the seventh day. Because it's not like we learned in the Braisa that we were quoting this halacha all along. Kol chayiv tefilas, all those that are obligated in immersion in the mikvah, tefilas mayim, they could tevil in during the daytime. However, there are exceptions. Nida v'yeledes tefilas b'layla, the nida and the woman that gave birth, they have to immerse only in the evening, and that's exactly the chiddush. Only in the eighth day, because she can only go in the mikvah on the night of the seventh. She can't do like all the other ones, have to count 7 days and then be tar on the night of the seventh, because she can only do the mikvah after the night of the seventh. And therefore she has to wait for sundown after the day of the eighth. And therefore, that's why she can only go ahead and have it on the eighth day. That's exactly the chiddush. Not to say that, like the case of the Zava, because we would think that it wouldn't work. No, to the contrary, to say that it can't be even a day early on the seventh. The Tanakh will end up Brisa. You would think that a Nida could immerse during the daytime. Like all those that have to immerse in the mikvah could be in the daytime. Tamalayma, that's what the Pasuk teaches in Vayikra. Shivas yamim tia, for 7 days she should be. Like Rashi says, the word tia is extra. That 7 days she should be benidas in her state of Nida. That tells you, tehei benidas kol shiva, she should be in her state of Nida for all 7 days. What that means to say is that she cannot go in the mikvah like miktsas yim kakulai to say like, oh, part of the day is already considered like all of it, and that she could already immerse in the mikvah. No, for all 7 days she's in Nida, you gotta wait till after the day is over. Only then could you immerse in the mikvah, and then you gotta wait till after the eighth day to have sundown. Therefore, on the day of the eighth, then she's gonna inevitably go to be mutter in the evening time. And v'yaled this iskers l'nida, and that a woman that gave birth was compared to a nida, as the pasuk says, kimi nidas devoise titma, like a woman that gave birth will be tamei, like a woman that has nida. And therefore, her tefillah will also be only in the evening time. And that's why she's going to, as that brisa says, she could only immerse at nighttime, like the nida, in contrast to all the other tumas. However, that's the halacha that we're teaching you, that although it would seem that if a zava, you could go ahead and be sheichen and zerik the dam for a carbon pesach, for a person that's on her eighth day, where she's missing an action, for sure neither, that's not missing anything, the chiddush is telling you the opposite way. That you would think that you don't have to wait till the eighth day. It could be on the seventh day, and that the chiddush is no, because since she could only go ahead and tevil after the seventh day, she's only going to be available on the night of the eighth day, and that's telling you that she only could be, like the zava, to be sheichen and zerik on the yom hashmini on the eighth day.